Okay, navigating the world of raising capital. Yeah, it can feel like you're trying to read some ancient map sometimes, right? Especially with SEC rules like 506B and 506C thrown in. So today, we're basically aiming to give you a compass for that map. Think of this as your clear guide to these two key paths under Regulation D.
Exactly. These rules, they let companies tap into private investment without needing, that full SEC registration you see with public offerings. And critically, for both 506B and 506C, the amount you can raise,
Oh,
unlimited.
unlimited capital. That's the big headline right away.
Yeah. So our goal here in this deep dive is really to zero in on the key differences, the strategic upsides, maybe the downsides too, for each one. So you can get a clear picture, maybe figure out which fits better, or, just get smarter about this whole area of finance.
Right. Becoming more informed is always good. Okay, so that unlimited potential is a huge draw. Let's unpack 506B first. That one's
Right.
been around a bit longer, yeah.
It has, yeah. Rule 506B is definitely the more established path for these private placements. Its main strength, you could say, is flexibility in who can invest. You can have unlimited accredited investors, plus, and this is key, up to 35 non-accredited investors.
Okay, but those non-accredited investors, they can't just be anyone, can they?
They
Did they
so
catch?
Absolutely. The word is sophisticated. They need to have enough knowledge, enough experience in like financial and business stuff to really understand the risks. It's about whether they can genuinely evaluate the deal, not just how much money they have.
Makes sense. And the accredited investors, just refresh us quickly, what generally qualifies someone based on our sources?
Sure. So typically, an individual is accredited if they earn over $200,000 a year or $300,000 with a spouse for the last 2 years and expect that again. Or if they have a net worth over $1 million, excluding their main home, jointly or individually. Plus, there are ways for certain financial pros or specific types of companies, too.
Okay, got it. Now, here's a really crucial part of 506B, this ban on general solicitation. What does that actually stop a company doing when raising money?
Right. This is fundamental. No general solicitation means, well, basically, you can't publicly advertise the offering. So think no big ads on websites for everyone to see, no broad social media pushes to unknown investors, no articles trying to drum up investment publicly. The whole idea is built around having pre-existing substantive relationships.
Ah, that phrase.
Yeah, it means real connections you already have through business, personal networks, things like that. You tap into who you know or build connections privately, not a public shout out.
So it's about relationships, not broadcasting. Okay, how does a company check who these investors are under 506B? What's the verification like?
Well, for the accredited investors in 506B, it's a bit lighter. Usually you can rely on their self-certification, like a questionnaire where they say, yes, I'm accredited. But the company still needs to have a reasonable belief that they're telling the truth. You can't just ignore red flags.
Okay. And for the non-accredited ones, the up to 35.
Ah, that's different. The company has a bigger job there. They need to make sure those investors really are sophisticated. That might mean more detailed questions about their investment background, financial know-how, maybe even suggesting they talk to an advisor.
Right, more due diligence there. And disclosure. What do you need to tell the SEC or investors with 506B?
The disclosure rules for 506B really turn on whether you have any non-accredited investors involved. If even one non-accredited person invests, the SEC says you have to provide specific info. It can be pretty detailed audited financials, lots about the company, the offering.
Potentially a lot of work then.
It can be.
Yeah.
But if everyone investing under 506B is accredited, then there are no specific SEC required documents. That said, you always want to give good, accurate information to everyone, to avoid any fraud claims down the line. Honesty is key.
Absolutely. Okay, so 506B, relationship focused, allows some non-accredited folks if they're savvy, but tighter disclosure rules if they join. Got it. Now let's switch gears. Rule 506C. This came out of the JOBS Act, right? And the big thing is it allows general solicitation.
For the headline difference, exactly. 506C flips the script on finding investors. It lets you advertise publicly,
Right.
but, and this is a huge but, there's a major trade-off. You can only sell to accredited investors, period.
Ah, okay. No non-accredited allowed at all, even sophisticated ones.
Nope. Doesn't matter how smart they are, if they don't meet the accredited definition, they can't participate in a 506C offering. 506B has that flexibility. 506C draws a hard line, accredited only.
Okay, so 506C shuts the door on non-accredited investors, but opens the door to public advertising. What does that look like in practice? How can companies use this?
It means you can, put it out there. Use your website, run social media campaigns, send email blasts maybe to lists of accredited investors, even talk openly about raising funds at conferences. It gives you a much wider net to cast, potentially reaching investors far beyond your personal network.
Like turning on a megaphone, but only accredited investors are supposed to hear it.
Kind of, yeah. For a company needing investors from outside their immediate circle, 506C can be powerful. But that audience targeting is crucial.
So if you can advertise publicly, I imagine the checks to make sure everyone who does invest is actually accredited must be pretty strict. Tell us about that stringent investor verification.
You got it. Because you're potentially reaching anyone with that public solicitation, the SEC demands a much tougher verification process compared to that reasonable belief standard in 506B.
Right.
Under 506C, the company, the issuer, has to take reasonable steps to verify that every single buyer is accredited.
Reasonable steps. Okay, what does that mean? Practically, what kind of steps are we talking about? Our sources had examples.
Yeah, the SEC gives some non-exclusive examples. Things like looking at an investor's tax returns for the last couple of years to check income, or reviewing bank statements, brokerage statements to verify their net worth.
Okay. More intrusive.
It can feel that way.
Yeah.
Another option is getting written confirmation from a professional like their lawyer, CPA, broker-dealer, or investment advisor confirming their accredited status. The key is you need documented proof that you actually did take reasonable steps. You can't just, well, wing it.
Right. Documentation is key. Now, this verification process, it's often seen as maybe a downside, a hurdle for 506C. But you mentioned some recent SEC guidance, March 2025. That might help?
Yes, this is quite interesting. This recent guidance suggests a possible pathway, especially for larger investments. Basically, if the minimum investment is pretty high, say $200,000 for an individual or $1 million for an entity, and the issuer gets written confirmation from the investor saying they're accredited and that they didn't finance the investment just to meet the threshold, and the issuer doesn't know anything to contradict that. Well, that combination might be enough to count as reasonable steps.
Ah, so potential way to streamline it for bigger checks.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
It's relatively new, but it could make 506C look a bit more attractive by possibly reducing that verification headache in certain cases.
That could definitely shift the calculation for some companies. What about disclosure for 506C? Since everyone must be accredited, is it simpler than 506B?
It is different, yes. Because all investors in a 506C offering are, by definition, accredited, the SEC doesn't impose those specific disclosure document requirements like they do if non-accredited investors are in a 506B deal. The thinking is accredited investors are generally sophisticated enough to ask the right questions, do their own homework.
Right. They should know what to look for.
Exactly. But, and it's the same bot as before, the basic duty to provide truthful, non-misleading information. That absolutely still applies. You still need to give enough info for an informed decision. You can't hide material facts just because there isn't a specific SEC checklist for 506C disclosures.
Okay, good clarification. So we've looked at them individually, 506B, 506C. To really make it stick, let's just quickly run through a side-by-side comparison, the absolute core differences.
Good idea. Let's crystallize it. First, general solicitation. Big one. Prohibited in 506B, permitted in 506C.
Yeah.
Second, accredited investors. Unlimited numbers allowed in both, but 506C is only accredited investors.
Got it.
Third, non-accredited investors. 506B allows up to 35, provided they're sophisticated. 506C, absolutely none permitted, zero.
Okay.
Fourth, verifying accredited investors. 506B uses that reasonable belief standard. 506D requires the tougher reasonable steps verification.
More work for 506C there.
Generally, yes. And fifth, disclosure. If non-accredited investors are in your 506B deal, specific SEC requirements kick in. For 506C, since there are no non-accredited investors, those specific requirements don't apply.
Perfect summary. That really lays out the trade-offs. So with those differences clear, how does a company actually choose? What are the big decision points?
Yeah, the choice really comes down to strategy, matching the rule to your situation. A few key things to think about. First up, what does your investor network actually look like?
Your existing contacts.
Exactly. If you have a strong existing network, maybe including people you know well who are sharp financially but not technically accredited, then 506B might make sense. You lean on those pre-existing relationships.
Right.
But if you need to reach way beyond who you already know, and you're pretty confident you can attract only accredited investors, then 506C's allowance for public advertising is the big draw.
So know your network versus needing to build one publicly. What about just the desire or maybe the capacity to advertise?
Good point. Some companies prefer to keep their fundraising quiet, more discreet.
Mm-hmm.
No public marketing. 506B fits that perfectly. Others might want to use public channels, websites, social media, events to find investors. If you're ready for that public visibility and the work that involves, 506C enables it.
Hey, we keep coming back to verification. That burden seems like a major factor.
It really is. 506B, generally less intense verification for the accredited folks, but you do have to assess sophistication for any non-accredited ones. 506C, more rigorous, documented verification needed for every single accredited investor. That recent SEC guidance might soften it for some, as we said, but it's still fundamentally a higher bar than 506B.
Okay. And what if a company specifically wants to include, say, some key early supporters, maybe friends and family, who are smart but don't meet the income or net worth tests?
Then it's simple. 506B is their only option between these two.
Yeah.
If including those sophisticated but not accredited investors, up to 35 of them, is part of the plan, 506C is off the table. It just doesn't allow it.
That flexibility in 506B could be really important for early stage companies then.
Absolutely. And then circling back to disclosure again.
Right, the paperwork.
Yeah. If you go with 506B and include those non-accredited investors, be prepared for more extensive, specific disclosure requirements, potentially audited financials. With 506C, because it's all accredited investors, those specific SEC mandates aren't triggered. But again, you still need solid, truthful communication.
Got it. Any other sort of compliance details or procedures to keep in mind?
Well, both need careful compliance, good records, that's table stakes. But the kind of records differ slightly. For 506C, you absolutely need meticulous records showing how you verified accredited status for everyone. Document those reasonable steps.
Okay.
And importantly, for both 506B and 506C, you have to file something called a Form D with the SEC. It's just a notice, not an approval request, filed within 15 days of your first sale. Oh, and one other thing, both rules have bad actor provisions, meaning if the company or key people involved have certain past legal or regulatory issues, they might be disqualified from using these exemptions.
Right. Good to know. So wrapping this up, it's clear there's no single best answer between 506B and 506C. It's really about strategy.
It absolutely is. It depends entirely on the company's specific situation, who they want as investors, and how they plan to find them.
The core trade-offs seem pretty clear now.
Yeah. 506C gives you that broader reach, public solicitation, but demands accredited-only investors and tougher verification. 506B lets you include some sophisticated, non-accredited folks, has easier verification for accredited investors, but keeps you restricted to private outreach, those pre-existing relationships.
So for you, the listener, as you maybe think about your own fundraising ideas, hypothetical or real, consider which path feels like a better fit. Think about your network, your goals, your ideal investors. This deep dive hopefully gives you a solid foundation. But remember, these are complex rules. Getting advice from experienced legal counsel who understands your specific situation, that's always, always the smart move.